Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to I Am Resistance and the End Times. My fellow renegades, as you know, what do you know? That this broadcast is dedicated to creating a culture of resistance to industrial civilization, resistance to the evisceration of the living world, the land base, and the exploitation of all creatures by the corporatocracy and the oligarchy that enslaves and deforms our minds. Resistance to the insane culture of occupation that supports violence and oppression. We seek truth in a culture of lies, violence, and kitsch. This is a call to action to those who will listen, a cry to unite, to stop this toxic culture before it is too late, to rebel, and to stop this at any cost. We must defend and restore the land base before it is uninhabitable. We must work to end the exploitation of all life and learn to live as awake moral beings in tune with nature. This is a vast undertaking, but it is our only hope for the future of the living world. This insane culture must be stopped, and rebellion is the only way. And radical feminism is a guide to those who want to dismantle, not reform, the dominant cultures. Industrial civilization can be dismantled and never be allowed to be again. We must build a culture of resistance to fight the insanity of industrial civilization. We must fight. We must support resistance anywhere we see it. There is a strategy. Read The Decisive Ecological Warfare in the book The Deep Green Resistance. Read and think and think. We must recognize the reality that we're in. Today is January 17th, 2015. As you know, my name is Jeff. Good morning again, my fellow renegades. Check out the Facebook page, I Am Resistance. Give it a like. This week, I got so many likes on that page. Hey, I think people want to resist. That's a good thing. Keep it coming. Add some comments. Submit some stuff. Come to this pathetic radio blog. Let's have a conversation. So you can also email me at inquiringsage@gmail.com. That's inquiringsage@gmail.com. You can go to this webpage on radio, on this Blog Talk Radio, and also get the same information. There's also a blog, Jeff the Inquiring Sage, jeffinquiringsage.blogspot.com, also on the page. Give me a call, 646-915-9912. There's also a live chat. Call it, 646-915-9912. As those of you know who have listened to this, and over 1,000 people have over those couple years I've been doing this, in my little Facebook page, you know, grassroots, real nice. You know, we're seeing it. We're seeing that we are in the midst of the collapse and things are dismantling, just coming undone. People are resisting all over the world. But is it enough? One of the things that keeps people docile is the view that we can find peace and harmony within this toxic system. It is a way we diffuse responsibility. You know, because we're just trying to, you know, pay our mortgages and we're just trying to live and survive. I get it. But it reminds me of a Marilyn French quote that she said about Sartre and solipsism, which I'll read to you in a moment. We're going to talk about that and also a book I'm reading that discusses Daniel Quinn's book, Ishmael, and that there's four deadly myths that we inhabit in this dimensional reality that keep this sick, twisted madness going on. So as you know, I am anti-civilization straight up, and it's time that we stop destroying the living world. But the industrial ruling class are not going to do that and not allow it to go. So why are we following? Why are we not resisting? Why are we still playing this game? You know, I think if you read Derek Jensen, which all of you should run out right now and buy his book, Endgame, Volume 1 and 2, and again, there's lots of great reasons. First of all, we're slaves, and there's a super powerful, you know, military-industrial complex keeping us place. And about 10,000 years of straight-up oppression and training and indoctrination. And the cultural narratives that are spun constantly through the mass media. I mean, let's talk about, thank goodness, for, you know, television. Television has saved civilization now for, you know, it's kept its madness really going in a way that it was a dream come true. All media has been a dream come true for industrial civilization, and we are captivated by the shining lights, and we're stuck, even though so much horror goes on. Let me read to you from an article from the book Against Civilization, Readings and Reflections, edited by John Zerzan. Go buy this. It's excellent. This is from an article called Avoiding Social and Ecological Disaster, The Politics of World Transformation, written in 1994 by Rudolf Barrow. And it starts with, what is exterminism? In order to furnish a basis for resistance to rearmament plans, the visionary British historian E.P. Thompson wrote an essay in 1980 about exterminism as a last stage of civilization. Exterminism doesn't just refer to the military overkill or to the neutron bombs. It refers to industrial civilization as a whole, and to many aspects of it, not just the material ones, although these are the first to be noticed. It made sense to those eco-pax movement in Germany, began not with nuclear weapons, but with nuclear power stations, and seemingly even less harmful things. Behind the various resistance movements stood an unspoken recognition that in the set of rules guiding the evolution of our species, death has made its home. Thompson's statement about the increasing determination of the extermination process, about the last dysfunction of humanity, its total self-destruction, characterized by the situation as a whole. The number of people who are damned and reduced to misery has increased unbelievably with the spread of industrial civilization. Never in the whole of history have so many been sacrificed to hunger, sickness, and premature death as is the case today. It is not only their number growing, but also their proportion of the whole of humanity. As an inseparable consequence of military and economic process, we are in an act of destroying the biosphere which gave birth to us. To express this exterminism thesis in Marxist terms, one would say that the relationship between the productive and the destructive forces is turned upside down. Like others who looked at civilization as a whole, Marx had seen it as a trail of blood running through it, and that, quote, civilization leaves deserts behind it. That's awesome. Great, great book. Everybody should have that book. And I mean, that's what we see. We see the devastation of the way we live. We see the devastation of a billion people living right now that don't have access to clean drinking water. A billion, so they say on the news. I'll bet you it's more. And why is this happening? Why? We know why. The way we choose to live. And how we follow along. It's about our politics, shall we say. And let me again quote, or a different quote, from Marilyn French, Beyond Power. I've quoted her before many times. Marilyn French, excellent book, Beyond Power, on women, men, and morals. Excellent. It's a magnum opus. Everybody should read this as well. And she's referring to Sartre, the French existentialist. Sartre was a political man, and the freedom he admired implied the courage to stand against tyranny and justice. Nevertheless, the solipsism of his philosophy offers justification for turning one's back on power, refusing to engage by the large-scale movements of one's time and choosing to cultivate one's own flower box. Indeed, by insisting that choices must be made in isolation and disconnection, Sartre removes the ground from which choices really emerge, our emotional ties to people and principles, our sense of our bodies and the physical context of life. We may disguise, even from ourselves, the fact that we make choices with our entire selves, that we make choices with only our intellect, although how can that be accomplished is not clear. The exaltation of the mind that pervades philosophical thinking perpetuates human obsession by ridding humans of all that seems to tie them to nature. Yeah, I really think the part, the solipsism in his philosophy offers the justification for turning one's back on power, refusing to engage in large-scale movements of one's time and choosing to cultivate one's own flower box. That is the kind of individualism we see today. There's nothing I can do about what's happening, so I'm just going to take care of myself and my own and let the world take care of itself, which is good in its own right because you see that's a wonderful paradox. But at the same time, it's shirking responsibility from the fact that we are responsible for what's happening and that we're destroying the living world. And we're ignoring it because it serves our purposes, which is powerlessness, fear of the massive power. We know what's there, which is huge power and death. You know, and we're sort of like, well, you know, I'm really not interested in dying like that, you know, being tortured and killed and stuff, which sounds just fantastic. So I'm just going to focus on myself, which is funny. We tell that to our kids all the time. Well, you don't worry about what they're doing. You focus on yourself and you do well. Again, everything we're taught is this kind of asocial individualism to where you cultivate your flower box and screw them and the horse they rode in on, which is absurd because we're all interconnected and we know it. So it's that sense of, her point is that our psychology of today, and has been for a long time, is the exemplification, shall we say, of that asocialness, that we're that which cuts us off from nature. Once we're cut off from nature, we're cut off from the entirety of our being, because then we can't connect to each other. We can't connect to, as the spiritualists would say, to Mother Earth. We can't connect to it. We can't hear what the trees are saying at all. We're blind, deaf, and dumb. And that creates our psychology of trauma. There's a great book I have yet to read, but I heard it's excellent. I purchased it because that's what I do. I work ton, and then I spend it all on books. Who cares that I have kids? They have food. And it's called Trauma, A Social Theory by Jeffrey C. Alexander. And it just jumped out at me because that's something that interests me, in the sense of trauma is civilization in so many ways. And I want to understand, because no philosophers or even sociologists are talking about it. They're just talking around it. And I'm hoping this book will speak to that. But what happens is we've created this mythology and civilization. And we know how powerful this mythology is. It allows us to feel nothing for all the damage that we do, for all the horror we inflict on people, as well as the living world. Because we're speciesists, we're all like, oh, a billion people don't have drinking water. Sucks for them. But again, if we're killing, according to some, 200 species a day, we don't even blink an eye. So we're in the worst sort of evil. The worst sort of evil is one that we don't think we're doing it, that we're unconscious to it. And then we want to use that as an excuse, because our lack of critical thinking, our lack of thinking at all, has led us to that point of being so out of touch with what is, shall we call it, reality. And what we're doing, we've been able to, through our language, turn so much into what that is superfluous. Superfluous. We make people superfluous. We make the living world superfluous. We use these sick metaphors. Well, if you're going to make an omelet, you got to break some eggs. Since that agrarian age, 10,000 years ago, patriarchy, the domination, philosophy, and this is where we are, on the precipice of total destruction. And again, the loss of humanity through the extermination of ourselves is no great loss to the earth, unquestionably. And I think what most horrifies us, though, is our unbridled ability to inflict horrific suffering on the living world without conscience, without remorse. Derek Jensen points this out nicely in his books, where he would say, I know I get my hands on a CEO after it all goes down, and I'll be shaking him going, what have you done? And he'll say, what are you talking about? What did I do? I just sold some stuff. You know, they'll only see, as most people do, their own flower box. Hey, dude, I just was, I just sold some stuff to people. It's like a used car salesman doesn't see what he does to, or a car salesman at all, or salespeople at all. They don't see what they do to humanity because they're taught it's benign. Dude, I just sold people sweaters. I teach kids. I teach adults. And I'll blow it off and go, well, I just did my part. I just did my portion, because without the awareness of really knowing what we do, tell a teacher that they're really just there indoctrinating children and destroying their minds. They don't want to hear that. And they'll say to me, that's just your perception. I see. Well, first show me that you've thought about it. Think about it. And then we'll talk. So let me quote to you this excellent book I'm reading. It's called Sacred Demise, and it's fascinating. It's a look at how we can make sense of the collapse while we're in it. good stuff. Check it out. There's a whole bunch of books this author's written. And I quote, Daniel Quinn's book, Ishmael, tells the story of how about 10,000 years ago, humanity made a drastic shift. Humans called leavers had lived in balance with the Earth system for millions of years. At that time, others, referred to as takers, broke away, believing they held dominion over the Earth and did not have to live within its non-negotiable rules. Today, the world is dominated by takers. Takers decide to live outside of nature. They created four self-destructive suicidal myths. Let's talk about that. Myth one, the human species is distinct from the natural system. It does not have to live by its laws. Fact is, we are intractably interwoven into the fabric of all life. All of our actions have consequences. Absolutely. I mean, I don't know how to even say, you know, but again, we are trained to we are alien to nature now, our psychology, our sociology. We are alienated so drastically because of that, this myth that has been interwoven into us now, traumatized into us. So again, we're cut off, blind, deaf, and dumb, and we're in these little boxes that we call apartments and houses, just trying to live. Why? Myth two, through human wisdom, quotation marks, and creativity, the forces of nature can be tamed, harnessed, and controlled. History has proven this to be laughable, except for its dire consequences. Yeah, sure. You know, we think we can predict the weather. We think that we can do all these things, and nature just comes along and laughs in our faces because we're so out of balance and we're doing so much damage to the environment. And we're like, huh, it's not global climate change or whatever we want to call it. We're cranking out so much CO2 and we're cutting down the trees and we're destroying the living world. And it's only speeding up. It's not slowing down. There's no saving this insanity, but we want to. We're trying anyway. Oh, we just got to come up and solve the problem. We're the problem. This dimensional reality is the problem. Mystery. The economic growth and technological advancement of the civilized world creates a better life. This enhanced existence, however, requires the degradation and annihilation of natural systems for the benefit of a few self-selected humans. I mean, what's the difference between a monarchy and an oligarchy? Nothing. What's the difference between a democracy and a communism? Nothing. Nothing. We're all slaves in a tax farm. This is the story of your enslavement. Myth four. Growth can continue unabated in perpetual endless more. There is no ecological limits, but even if there are, technology will solve any of our problems, any problems we cause. And she goes on to say, these myths form a convenient veil for the corporate mantra of endless more, which has resulted in rampant destructive consumption of the Earth's resources. Ubiquitous toxification, the unprecedented killing of habitat and species. The 1972 book, The Limit of Growth, illustrates the consequences of this illusory, self-destructive behavior. Our planet has distinct limits in its ability to sustain life, feed and shelter people, and absorb waste. Today, we are in fact living precipitously beyond those limits. The corporate governmental deception seduces many into the trap of endless more consumerism, keeping people complacent, conveniently uninformed, and shielded from the destruction and unsustainability of its ways. Corporations, the ultimate takers, are creating enormous stress on the Gaian balance. Despite our dominance, most humans are incredibly vulnerable, entirely dependent on man-made, energy-gluttonous industrial systems for their survival. Unless humans release their suicidal romance with these four deadly nymphs and reconnect with the Earth, we can expect two potential scenarios to eventually play out. I love this. One, the human-made system will collapse. It already is. Jeopardizing the lives of millions who are dependent on it for warmth, food, and shelter. Two, Gaia's self-defense mechanism capable of shifting precipitously to restore balance will, just as our bodies send our antibodies to kill the invaders, the Gaian force will somehow respond to the human virus threatening her life. It will not be pleasant. Yeah, those both sound great. But we have to go renegade and stop living this way. We have to stop consuming. We have to stop living this way. We must abandon and stop this way of life. We must stop this toxic patriarchy and this domination culture. And we're not. We don't even know how to, but we don't even want to think about it. That's not even the point. This is worse than world ignorance. This is delusional. This is purposeful delusion. And any awakening is going to be tough. Any awakening is not going to be... I see the awakenings we're seeing right now with you know, the Islamists is scary and destructive. But it's to me, it's just one of the symptoms of the madness where we just have to kill and kill and kill and kill and kill. Just as industrial civilization, they're no different. But at least they're rebelling and they're stopping and they're trying to stop, but they're just trying to then impose another sadistic way of life, which is so destructive and awful. So again, we'll attack them and then they'll attack us, and then this endless cycle when both are absolutely disgustingly wrong and they're trying to prop up something, whether it's some monolithic religion or monolithic political system. They're both civilization. Anything that works to prop up civilization must be stopped and dismantled. And there's no simple, easy, black and white, fallacious way to stop this life system. We are in a dimensional reality that is, as John Trudell says, is eating our spirit. It's such a toxic, vicious place. You know, this darkness has befallen us, and we've become normalized to it. We've just accepted it because we're indoctrinated from our birth. Next week, I'm going to talk about the five lies that distort male sexuality. One of the things I posted on my I Am Resistance Facebook page that got a lot of attention. So let's talk about that next week. You can go on there and read the article. Let's have a chat about it. Till next time, ladies and gentlemen, you renegades, resistors, resist, think, and resist. I wish you well. See you next week.